Dear believers in Jesus Christ, what is a sacrament?
A sacrament is a holy ordinance instituted by Christ in his church to signify, seal, and exhibit unto those that are within the covenant of grace the benefits of its mediation, to strengthen and increase their faith and all other graces, to oblige them to obedience, to testify and cherish their love and communion one with another, and to distinguish them from those that are without.
That last phrase we just confessed together, to distinguish them from those who are without, is something that will be highlighted explicitly in our text this evening. We're going to continue our series through Behold the Lamb of God, and we find ourselves in the initiation of Passover in Exodus chapter 12. If you want to grab one of the pew Bibles in front of you, if you have your own, you can turn there on page 53. And so up until this point, Israel has witnessed God unleash 9 plagues that are increasing in severity upon Egypt, and especially Pharaoh, for not letting his people go. He has turned their water into blood. He sent them frogs, gnats, and flies. He killed their livestock. He sent them boils, hail, locusts, and finally, he caused darkness to fall upon all the land. Yet through them all, there was a distinction between the people of Egypt and the Israelites. The people of God who resided in the land of Goshen were spared from the negative effects of these curses. Yet despite all of this, Pharaoh's heart remained hard, and he insisted on keeping them as slaves. So God reserved the ultimate and most devastating plague for last. In his last form of judgment, God himself would descend upon the land as the angel of death and execute his wrath by killing all the firstborn in the land. When he does, there will be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as there has never been nor ever will be again. But not a hair on the heads of the people of Israel, from either man nor beast, would be harmed, so that the world might know that God makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Yet with this last plague, God's people would only be spared from this curse, this particular curse, if they were covered by what I'm going to call a lamb of distinction. Well, with that, let's read Exodus 12. We're going to read a couple sections, 1 through 13, then we're going to drop down to 21 through 28 together, and then we'll conclude with prayer. Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh at night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat it, any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 21. Then Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lambs for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and touch the lintel and the two doorposts, with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning, for the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house to strike you. You shall observe this as a rite and a statute for you and for your sons forever. And when you come into the land the Lord is giving you, as he has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the houses and the people of Israel and Egypt, and he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. And the people of Israel went and did so, as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, tonight, as we consider the importance of the Lamb of Distinction and the Passover, I do ask that you would be with us, that you would teach us, and that you remind us of the beauty it is to be those who are distinguished from those who do not know you. Thank you for the blessings of the cross, for which the greatest Passover of destruction occurred. Would we revel in that beauty of the gospel tonight, we pray. Amen. In just a few short weeks, beginning in January, we're going to be working through the Exodus account, and eventually we're going to get to chapter 12. So instead of preaching exhaustively all that there is to know about this chapter, we'll do that later. I want to focus specifically on the Lamb of Distinction, that we might more intimately behold the Lamb of God this Advent season. The reason the Passover lamb is so significant is because, unlike the former plagues, the final curse required a sign to distinguish the people of God from the Egyptians. We read that in verse 12, that when God strikes down all the firstborn of the land, if he sees the blood sign of the lamb on the lintel and the doorposts of the house, his judgment would pass over that home and move on to the next. And the implication being that is, if God did not see that sign, if the blood was not covering that home, then death would befall that house, and the firstborn would be destroyed, as we see in verse 13. The importance of a sign of distinction between the people of God and the outside world cannot be overstated. As we confessed earlier this evening, part of what makes a sacrament is a sign that distinguishes us, the people of God, from the outside world. And this is why Passover, the celebration of it, continued throughout the history of God's people. Israel would keep this feast as a way of distinguishing themselves from the outside world, and the Passover lamb would be the sign that makes that distinction. Today, we too continue the Passover celebration through the Lord's Supper, since at the administration of it by our Savior Jesus Christ, instituted in the new sacrament sign in place of the old, he, who is the substance of the sign represented, has finally come into the world. He is our Passover lamb. A further connection between the old and new sacrament of Passover and the Lord's Supper is that both of these were inaugurated on the eve of a great exodus. We know this for the people of Egypt. They would eventually be free from slavery and leave. But for us, a greater slavery was defeated, that of sin and death. We've been freed from spiritual slavery to sin. One of the beauties of the confession that we made this morning of what is the Lord's Supper is that in the meal, we are made partakers of all the benefits of Christ and all the spiritual nourishment that he brings through our growth in grace. And this is how the Passover points to an even greater exodus to come. It's displayed beautifully every time we partake of the Lord's Supper. Also, In each of these two sacraments, a lamb of distinction is needed. God's people needed a lamb to serve as a sign to distinguish them from those who are perishing. And we know this is fully realized in Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate sacrifice and the perfect, innocent substitute for all who would believe in him. Therefore, for both the original audience of Passover and for us today, we find this foundational truth. If you want to be spared from God's wrath, you need a lamb of distinction. But why is that true? Why do we need a lamb? So that God wouldn't destroy us in wrath. Couldn't he simply just forgive and pass through the land and distinguish the Israelites just as he's done before with all the other plagues? Well, friends, God's justice demands punishment for all sin, not just the heinous ones. You see, without the lamb of distinction, his wrath would not pass over Israel, but would have consumed them along with all of Egypt. In the Passover, the lamb served as a sign that their guilt had been paid, and they now stand innocent before God. So because we are just as guilty as Egypt, friends, just as deserving of punishment, we need a lamb to distinguish between us and them. And we find that the very onset that that lamb must be sacrificed if we have any hope of being spared from God's wrath. And we see this in the description of Passover in verse 27, when the children come and they're asking, what is this meal about? This is how their parents are supposed to respond. It is a sacrifice of the Lord's Supper. Now, this may trip up some people. Some scholars, you know, want to point this out. Well, this isn't truly a sacrifice. It came before the Levitical priesthood, right? But although that is true, what we see here in this sacrifice is that the lamb takes on the guilt that is found in God's people and then pays its penalty that they deserve. And this is necessary because our God is a holy God. As a friend of mine said, he's not just some mafia don who can say, I'll forget about it. Sin needs to be dealt with God. His perfect character demands a price for sin. At the Passover, the lamb of distinction, serving as the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ in his sacrifice, paid the price for Israel's guilt, thus making it possible for God himself to pass through their midst without destroying them for their iniquity. Matthew Henry in his commentary agrees when he writes, though there was with us, yes, even us, sins against the Lord God, for which the destroying angel, when he was abroad doing execution, might have justly destroyed our firstborn too, God graciously appointed and accepted the family sacrifice of a lamb instead of the firstborn. So it was that every house that had a lamb slain, the firstborn was spared. End quote. The blood on the doorposts and lintels served as a sign that the penalty had been paid and the guilt of that home had been removed. And this sign was powerful enough to resonate in the minds of Israel for generations. Decades later, when the people of God were entering into the land of Canaan, there was a certain woman who harbored two Israelite men to spy out Jericho. Rahab, upon hearing the powerful works of God, believed in him as the God of the heaven and the earth. And so when his people came into the land, she provided them protection and asked for an oath that they would deal kindly with her and her household. In response, the men asked her to display a sign out of her window to cover her house from his wrath, saying, behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. A lot of that similar language that we heard tonight already when we talked about the Passover. Afterwards, Rahab sent them safely and obeyed their command. And Israel came into Jericho, and for 6 days they marched around And those two spies who were part of the formation would see that scarlet cord every day. I can only imagine. They would turn to the right or to the left and tell of the story of Rahab who rescued them, and that that sign showed that she would be protected. Eventually, as the people of God enacted his judgment upon that city, on the seventh day, the wrath that would befall upon it would pass over her house. Just like Israel in the land of Egypt, her home was covered by a scarlet sign that evidenced her faith in God. She trusted that that scarlet sign would cover her from the wrath that she deserved and ultimately befall upon her neighbors who remained uncovered. Beloved, I know it's difficult to think about Rahab being guilty, or Israel for that matter. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. It's very easy to see the villains of these stories, Pharaoh and Egypt and Jericho. They deserve to be punished. They deserve to be slain. But I want you to notice something very particular. Look at verse 13 with me. Who's the sign for? Is it for God or is it for the people? The blood is a sign for the people. You see, God didn't need a bloodstained door to know where his people were. It was a sign for the Israelites that symbolized that they too were sinners deserving of death, yet they had a way to escape God's judgment that would pass through the land indiscriminately. Nothing inherent in Israel or Rahab made them any less worthy of death than their Egyptian oppressors or Jericho. Marking the door with the blood signified that death had already taken place in that household. Judgment has been served, albeit through a substitute. Calvin agrees when he writes, God then shows that he spared the Israelites on no other condition but that of a sacrifice, for whence it follows that the death of Christ was set before them in this sacrament, which alone constituted the difference between them and the Egyptians. Friends, today we live in a world of comparison. It's really easy to see how those outside of the walls of Bethel need a sacrifice. But we do too. As we prayed in our confession, I would ask that God would just reveal to us the depravity that we have before him. Friends, there will be a day that we give an account for all of our sin. And you won't know exhaustively all that is now, but one day you will. And without the Lamb of distinction, all of that sin you will bear and you will pay the penalty of it. But if you have the blood of Christ covering the doorposts of your heart and the lintel of your soul, all of the sin which you will perfectly acknowledge on that last day will be given to him, and he will be sacrificed on the cross for it. Praise God for his mercy. I pray that this revelation of sin in your life doesn't cripple you, but what it does is it draws you into a place of deep appreciation and love for what Jesus has done for you on the cross, because that is what distinguishes you from those who have no hope. We're just as guilty as Egypt, my friends, and we need a sacrifice lamb to distinguish between us and them. But it's not enough if this lamb was sacrificed if it had blemishes. No, the lamb must be spotless if we have any hope of being saved from God's wrath against our sin. And we see this at the very onset of the chapter in verse 5. Take a look there now. Look at the quality of this lamb. It should be without blemish, a male a year old. And this Hebrew word here for without blemish is tamim. I'm going to say that a couple of times, tamim, without blemish. It carries on this connotation of completeness, perfection, blamelessness. In ancient Israel, the concept of tamim was integral both to religious and ethical life. Sacrificial animals needed to be tamim because it symbolized purity and holiness, the only things that are acceptable to God. This requirement underscored the importance of offering one's best to God. So if a sacrifice is to be acceptable in the sight of God, it must be tamim. But why? Why is it necessary that this lamb doesn't have any blemishes? Why couldn't I sacrifice this old, feeble lamb that's on the death's doorstep? Why would I have to waste this young one, this year-old lamb? Well, it's because that if we expect God to accept an offering as worthy, it must be perfect. See, one commentator put it this way, as the lamb was intended as a sacrifice, the characteristics of it were significant. Freedom from blemish and injury not only benefit the sacredness of the sacrifice to which was devoted to God, but served as a symbol of the moral integrity of the person represented in the sacrifice. End quote. If the offering was impure, that imperfection would be attributed to the person who sacrificed it. In the substitution of the lamb, not only are our sins paid for through the sacrifice, but the quality of the sacrifice is attributed to our character. You see, if the lamb had blemishes, we would be giving it our blemished sin, and we would be receiving its blemished outward appearance. And we would still be blemished, and we would be left in our sins. And it would not be a sufficient atonement for those reasons. It would be impure. Thus, the righteous judgment of God to that home would not be passed over because the sacrifice was not perfect. Beloved, God requires perfect character from those who desire a relationship with him. It's not enough for our sins to be paid for and we be neutral. We need to be perfect. Up until this point in our text, tamim was only used twice before, both of which talk about the quality of a person's character and not a sacrifice. In terms of personal character, being tamim, being blameless, being holy, being set apart, was associated with living a life of integrity and faithfulness to God's commandments, reflecting the covenantal relationship between God and his people. It's used of Noah, who represented the second Adam. He is described as a man who was tamim in his time. And later to Abraham, listen to what God commands him. In Genesis 17, he says, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be tamim, be blameless, so that I might make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Abraham, if you're blemished, I cannot be in a relationship with you because my righteous judgment demands that I execute wrath upon you for it. However, we read in Romans 4:2 that Abraham's belief was counted to him as perfect righteousness. And that's what a sacrifice does for God's people. The quality of the lamb is counted or accredited to the one who offers it in belief, in faith, the same way that Abraham was covered. This is what Martin Luther in the Gospel calls the great exchange. That Christ, the Lamb of distinction, is accredited our sin and dies in our place. He is sacrificed and pays the penalty of our guilt. And the quality of his character is put in robes of righteousness that we will don and wear forever. This is why the Passover lamb must be a symbol of perfection. And so as such, it foreshadows the true Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who is uniquely without blemish. Beloved, the only way that we are distinguished from those outside of the household of faith is if we have the spotless Lamb of God's perfection attributed to us. You see, when Christ returns to judge the world as the angel of death, he will not just destroy the firstborn on the earth. He will come for every single person born into sin who deserve his just wrath. That's all of us here tonight. However, the thing that will save you is the perfection of Christ being attributed to you, and that alone, so that when he sees you, he sees his son. If you want to spend eternity with Christ, This is the requirement he demands in Matthew chapter 5, 48. He says, you must therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Not one dot, tittle, iota of the standard of the law can be missing through the resume of our character if we expect to be accepted in God's sight. But thanks be to him, we have a Savior whose perfect character is transferred to all who believe in him for eternal life. Today, if you're resting on your own merit as a means of entry into the kingdom of God, know that you will fall infinitely short. It's only through the perfect, spotless, blameless, tamim, substitutionary atonement of Jesus that you have any hope. Our call this evening is to right now begin preparing for that meal in the Lord's Supper. We're going to take it on December 22nd. And sometimes we come to that meal and we forget, oh, it's the Lord's Supper this evening. But right now, what would it look like for you to begin to prepare your hearts for not only the sacrifice that was necessary for you to come to that meal, but the righteous requirement that Jesus fulfilled on your behalf that gives you the power to take that meal in faith without fear. Tonight, maybe even with your family, begin preparing your heart in anticipation for the Passover we celebrate in the New Testament of the Lord's Supper. And as you come to that meal on that night, or the morning of, pray that you remember the perfection that is required to be welcomed into the kingdom of God. A perfection Christ has given you in the gospel, friends. We're just as guilty as Egypt, and we need a blameless lamb to distinguish us between us and them. The sacrifice and perfection of Christ, friends, should be your deepest treasure. But it's often easy to allow these two necessary gospel qualities to be overlooked in our affections. But if you want to be spared from God's wrath, you need a lamb of distinction. The Passover lamb is fully realized in Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate sacrifice and the perfectly innocent substitute for all who believe in him. You are no less worthy of death than all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. But thankfully, the Lord provided a way for you to escape his wrath and be eternally saved from his judgment. This Advent season, we look to the coming of Christ. We learned about his initial coming this morning, but this text today focuses on his second coming. When he comes again, he will do so as the angel of death. For those of faith who have been distinguished by Christ's perfect sacrificial blood, they will exodus hastily from this world into the loving presence of God and stand before him clothed in the guiltless, innocent, tamim robes of righteousness that has been donned on them by their Savior Jesus. But for those who are not covered, his wrath will not pass you by. Sadly, you will join the chorus of great cries that will continue throughout eternity in the never-ending anguish of hell. But tonight is the night of salvation for you. You can be assured that the wrath of God will pass over you onto Christ simply if you believe in him. If by faith you choose to follow your Savior, his blood will cover the doorposts and the lintel of your soul, and his wrath will pass you by and land on your Savior Jesus. Tonight, if you do not know the Lord, I would love to tell you about the Lamb of Distinction. Come find me after the service. I'm going to walk right out the center aisle, and you can meet me right there. But for all of us who do trust in Jesus, tonight, may you behold the Lamb of God this Advent season. Always remember the righteous character of our Creator, who despite our sin, mercifully chose to redeem us and all his people through the sacrifice of the Lamb of Distinction. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the beauty of it and the joy we have to celebrate what you have done for us. Lord, in all things you are good. It was good of you to destroy those who were not covered because your holiness demands payment for sin. Let us be reminded, Lord Jesus, that we are no better. Except that we have Christ. May we revel in that beauty and be reminded daily of the necessity of his death and his perfection, both of which benefit us infinitely into the eternal kingdom of God. Would that be our cherished treasure as we behold the Lamb of God this Advent, we pray. Amen.